After the attempt to explode a bomb on an American plane on Christmas Day, how and when President Obama became a focus in the storm of media coverage that followed it, the New York Times Washington correspondent Peter Baker fills out those headlines for us. He has an in-depth look at Obama's approach to terrorism as opposed to that of the administration that came before him. It's in this week's New York Times Magazine. It's the cover story called, tellingly, Obama's War Over Terror. Peter Baker joins us now. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. How are you?
So you talk in the article a lot about the difference in responses between the Bush administration to terrorism and the Obama administration. And you start, one of the places that you start is with the response to the Christmas Day bombing. Can you tell me what you learned from that?
Well, you know, you saw that President Obama was reluctant to rush out to the cameras after the attempted bombing on Christmas Day. His style is to wait for more information, to think about things before, you know, giving it what he would worry would be a too abrupt reaction. But even then, that causes a political problem for him. His very deliberation, which is a relief to many people who were tired of what they saw as sort of swaggering President Bush, strikes others as a sign that he doesn't really take the issue as seriously as he ought to. That's the source of criticism from former Vice President Cheney, as an example. But, you know, President Obama obviously has taken terrorism seriously. He just has a different approach than President Bush's. A lot of the policies are still pretty much the same. There's not a huge difference in policy, at least from the second term of President Bush to the new Obama administration. But the tone is different. The language is different. The way he approaches it as a conception is different.
You know, let's talk a little bit about the similarities first. One of the things that I found interesting was that you said Barack Obama knows the chances are good that there will be a successful attack on the United States sometime during his tenure. And he also knows that if he drastically changed policies from the Bush times of the Bush administration, that that's what people would point to.
Right, that's exactly right. And a lot of the things that he found on his desk at the Oval Office when he came in almost a year ago, he is more or less kept. You know, by the time that President Bush left office, some of the harsher and more controversial elements of his counterterrorism strategy had already been moderated, either because of pressure from the Supreme Court or Congress or news media disclosures. So what President Obama inherited was a different, much more consensus approach than the first term President Bush. For instance, President Obama has kept the military commissions. Now, he's added some more procedural safeguards, but he's kept those. He's kept the national security letters. He's kept the power of rendition. He has argued for some of the same state secrets cases that President Bush had argued for. And he's also going to continue to keep at least several dozen terror suspects locked up without trial or charges. You know, there are some important differences. He's going to bring Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the self-described mastermind of 9/11, to New York for trial in a civilian court. But largely, President Obama has kept going the same direction and accelerated the same evolution that was already going on in the last 2 years of the Bush administration.
But you do point to a difference in that you see, say, Obama sees this as a war with al-Qaeda, not a war on terror.
Right. He had a different sort of rhetorical approach and a different tone than the last administration. He feels that war on terror, first of all, terror to him is a tactic, not an enemy. He calls it a war on al-Qaeda. But that does lend itself to the criticism that you hear a lot from Republicans, that means he doesn't think he's at war, that he is considering this to be a law enforcement problem rather than, you know, a great confrontation. He would argue that's not the case. He would argue that the point is to make clear that America is at war with a small group of extremists rather than with the larger Muslim world, which is the way a lot of Muslims around the world had perceived it in the last few years.
Well, Peter Baker, let me just pose this question to you then. As Obama likes to say, let's be clear. Because Obama seems to be holding the tools of rendition, of possible domestic surveillance, do you think he's more inclined to pursue those tactics in his war on al-Qaeda or more inclined to resist using them than President Bush?
Well, the argument would be is that he maintains that power but will use it more wisely, more judiciously, less less radically perhaps in the previous administration. That would be the argument. You know, what his critics on the left would say is that is a problem because, the inherent power in the executive should not be based on who is the executive. It should be based on what we think are the proper roles of each part of government in terms of its power over its own citizenry.
One of the things that also struck me was you talked about how Obama feels that the Bush strategy elevated the terrorists, gave them more power than they deserved, and it allowed them, you said, to change American society without their ever carrying out a single successful attack. What does Obama mean with that?
Well, I mean, let's face it, even if the underwear bomber had succeeded, that he would have killed perhaps 300 people. That's a terrible, terrible tragedy. But there are something like 14,000 murders in this country every year. So they have a disproportionate impact with the attack. President Obama wants to find a way to keep from making them the singular threat to the nation equivalent to the Nazis or communism during the Cold War.
All right, Peter Baker, White House correspondent for The New York Times. That article is the cover story of this week's New York Times Magazine. Coming up, returning to the earthquake in Haiti, we're going to be talking about low-cost, low-tech innovations that could help the people of Haiti now. And we're asking our listeners, what is the responsibility of the world's richest nations, American included, in response to the earthquake that rocked the Caribbean nation of Haiti? Do you think Americans should be shouldering the bulk of the financial burden there? Should we relieve the relief effort in the hands of the organizations who are focused on that? What do you think? What is our responsibility? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.